I was going to say, that is not the silly underdog theme. Hour number three here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase. Silly underdog time on this Thursday. Darren McFarland, that's me. We'll get to Chase.
Where's the song?
Via the telephone. I don't know.
We have a breakdown.
The minute I heard a piano, I knew that was the wrong open. Willie Donnick, the commissioner.
Shot for a big score.
Here we go.
Underdog.
Hit the reset button.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
It may be a long shot, but it's all you've got. It's time to pick your dark horse.
Not your nose.
This is Silly Underdog Picks.
Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Silly Underdog Picks. Now, on Darren, Donnick, and Chase.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here. Underdog is here.
Well, unfortunately, some of us have been picking our nose. Maybe it's time to start picking some winners. We say hello to the greatest Browns quarterback of all time. It's who Baker Mayfield is trying to be, Kelly Holcomb. Kelly, what's up?
I'm good, Darren. How you doing, man?
You didn't throw fourth quarter picks like Baker Mayfield.
Hey, man, he's young. He's young.
Five.
Get away with that. I mean, here's the deal. I mean, you know, and I tell people this, you got to learn how to play. But he used to get away with stuff like that when he was at Oklahoma because he could run around. But you get in the National Football League and you got to sit down. You got to study. You got to understand that, hey, they're going to stop what you do good. And, you know, you got to learn how to be a pocket passer.
Let's just throw out a hearty congrats to your son, the sophomore quarterback at Riverdale, who was called into duty last week and got it done.
Oh, man, y'all are killing me. He played well, man. He played well. You never know how your son's going to do. And he played well, you know, but we got a tough game this week, so we'll see how it goes.
But that had to be exciting.
Kelly, holy crap. That's the best you can say about a 42-0 victory for your son at quarterback?
Well, we're playing an upstart program, guys. I mean, God, they shouldn't even be playing varsity football right now. I mean, let's be honest here. But, hey, he played good, and you never know how he's going to react in games. I mean, our starting quarterback was out sick, and, you know, I was proud of him, though. He understands football, and that's what I tell people. You know, you get tired of talking. I don't want to – you know, I'm not supposed to talk about my son. Other people are supposed to talk about him. But he does understand the game, and I guess it's because he's been around me for so long watching film and stuff. But he gets a lot more than I did at his age.
That's awesome. Well, in all seriousness, that is fantastic. So kudos to him.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Thank y'all.
I want you to hear this, Kelly, for our next – we're bringing up Forever Titan Chris Sanders. So I'm at the arena, you know, because some of us work during hockey games, and I'm working. Willie, the commissioner, is working. Chase, who we'll get to in a bit, is working. We're working on a Saturday night. And, Kelly, I look down, and my phone is just blowing up. And I just immediately roll my eyes. I'm like, I haven't seen the score, but I freaking know what this call is. I know freaking Smoo has figured out a way to win, and Smoo has beaten TCU. So when things finally calm down and I'm able to get a minute to listen to my message, because I see that there's a voicemail, I get this message that I'm not going to play. But here was essentially what he left, Kelly. Like, hey, buddy, what's up? Hey, just checking in, seeing what's going on. What, like, oh, you're just checking in on me on Saturday night to see what was going on, huh?
You got to understand, Chris is phony, man. He's like that.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, well, I will give it to him. He's not being phony about his picks. He's giving the girlfriend tons of credit. He's basically saying these aren't even his picks.
Wow.
So, Chris, you know, congrats.
Hey, bud.
Yeah, what's going on, buddy? Hey,
y'all doing
how's your Saturday
today?
Night going? What's going on? Just thought I'd check in.
First of all, time out. First of all, you got to answer your phone, man. What's important here? what's important here?
You don't ghost the Forever Titan.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm sitting there thrilled, excited, calling you, and all I keep hearing getting is a voicemail. So I just left your voicemail just kind of let you know how I felt there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't need to answer. I could have told you what that message was going to say.
I was going to call at least about six more times, but I really thought you were busy.
You've never done that.
To give you a piece of my mind, mister.
As you did after Colorado pulled off the upset.
Oh, man. Oh, it's just the beginning, man. And Kelly Holcomb, we all know who's the better athlete in the family, mister.
Oh.
Hey, you're right. Absolutely. I agree. What do you want me to say?
Oh, I kind of thought that may create a little sparring, but no, it does not.
Hey, easy to every time.
Let's bring in, boy, here's a guy who, man, he's been on a roll. Chase McCabe, who's now calling in via telephone. He's not even in studio with
cool
us.
Now.
His picks stink so bad, he decided to get out of town. Chase, what's going on?
Hey, I had to get out of town. I had to reset. I found Derek Eagle. The Eagle is down here in Tampa. So I'm talking to the Eagle, going to get some tips, and I'm going to be ready to get back in this competition, okay? And listen, you know what, Kelly? You're cool and everything, but I'm going to take Bernie Kosar, probably, as the greatest Browns quarterback, not you.
Wow.
So, just saying.
Fine. Hey, I'd say so.
Well, at least he didn't say Paul McDonald.
Yeah. He's the only one I could think of. There's been too many.
I was going to say, you didn't even know Paul McDonald or Brian Sipe.
No.
Maybe him.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm ready to get back in this competition. My picks have been trash. I deserve everything that's getting thrown at me. I'm man enough to admit that. So let's go.
Yeah, I think the part that really, kind of has us all going, really, like you sang your pick last week, and that's where it was like, oh man, really?
It was more of a chant. It wasn't singing. It was more of a chant. And let's just be honest, it's not great to be a Tennessee Vol right now. So I was just trying to, deliver a little bit of hope to the fan base, and I failed.
Yeah, you did. By the way, D-Mace, who we're bringing up next, said the owl is dead. So I don't know what owl you're talking to, but he claims the owl is dead. I'm sorry, the eagle. I just said the owl. The eagle is dead.
You had the owl bring you the magic wand from Harry Potter the other day.
Yeah.
D-Mace, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Do you believe that Chase is down in Florida actually talking to your eagle?
He must be talking to a counterfeit eagle. Because I saw that eagle get taken in the back of the woods. And it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, when you get taken in the back of the woods, you don't come out, do you?
You must be talking to a stepbrother, a sister, or something. So I wouldn't take any advice from that eagle.
Hey, maybe it was his cougar I was talking to.
Oh.
Last week was the week of the Cougars.
It was the week of the Cougars.
Hey.
And
y'all gonna leave the Cougars alone, man.
And finally, Nick Kale, who sent me a text this morning. Hey, man. I got a dentist appointment. I just realized I got a dentist appointment today. I messed up. I didn't realize it was during this segment. Can you make my pick for me? I was like, no, dude. I got my own pick to make. I'm not making your pick.
I will be representing Nick this
so
week.
I'm just
proud.
The commissioner was stunned to hear this news because Nick has been very diligent. He's texted me day before, like, where do I pick and what are the standings? Can you tell me? He's been into it. Like, I was really impressed. And then all of a sudden,
it's
you
like,
schedule the
dentist appointment.
You don't
at
schedule
noon?
A dentist appointment in the 1 hour a week. You got to do the picks.
Who said that? What did you say? He has one tooth?
He has one tooth. I mean, what do you need to go to dentist for? Well, I mean, just put some dental floss and go on.
And how about him asking me to make the pick for him? I'm like, no, man.
No.
I think he should have to make the pick while the dentist is cleaning his teeth.
Exactly. 100%.
What we need to do is let Chase go back to being the honorary picker.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That was good for the rest of the league, wasn't it?
Yes. That way.
Or we just give him a pick like UConn. How about we do that?
But listen, you guys know the team I inherited. I mean, there's some things that come with that. So far, I'm on par with them.
There was a little baggage with the team you inherited, yeah.
All right, so Max, do you have full control of this pick, or did he give you some suggestions? Did you guys collaborate?
I have full control.
Full control.
Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are working together.
All right.
The state of Pennsylvania, East and West coming together to make a pick.
They're reuniting for the pick. Okay, let's
review. For the Winter Classic at Penn State, that never happened.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is the commissioner speaking. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Let's start with our online results from last week. Congratulations to Ben Hickerson for right here in Nashville. Won the tiebreaker. There was a host of players that had 35 points, but he had the tiebreaker. So he gets the prize. So congratulations to Ben. We've got weekly winners each week. We want you to play online, thegamenashville.com. The most popular picks, by the way, all went down in flames. 34% of the audience took South Carolina at Missouri. That was a no-go. 31% of the audience took Kentucky in blazing hot Starkville, where they had the heat advisory for the second time this year. The heat did not help Kentucky. They went down. And then 24% took Northwestern against Michigan State. Seemed like a good idea at the time. They got whipped by Derek Mason's Spartans. So those are those popular picks. Pittsburgh, a double-digit dog that knocked off Central Florida by a point. 15% of the audience did have the Pitt Panthers. So that was a good pick by the group there. Five people selected Miami of Ohio over Ohio State. They lost 76-5, although they did take a 2-0 lead in that game.
They did. No points for that, though.
No points for it. And that wasn't a cover, actually. So, all right, now to the panel. Going into week four, the first pick belonged to Chris Sanders, and it's already been referenced. Chris Sanders selected the Mustangs of SMU.
Yes, sir.
9-point dog playing down against TCU, the Horned Frogs.
Yes, sir.
The Mustangs took a 2-touchdown lead into the locker room at halftime and then hung on for a 41-38 win. SMU is 4-0. Chris Sanders is now 2-2. He's won two of his last three. He's got 12.5 points. He moves into second place.
Champ, that's so could you say that again? That just sounds so good when you say it.
You have vaulted into second place, Chris.
There we go. Just the beginning, baby.
Do you know anybody on SMU's team?
I got a son named CJ. I almost forgot. CJ.
Is that kind of like insider trading a little bit?
Yeah. Oh, he was giving me a little upside. He was telling me that TCU is not the old TCU. They had a chance to beat us, so I got a little insight of what was going on.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
How did he do?
He did pretty good. He played a little bit of receiver, and he had some pretty good returns. He didn't get in the end zone, but he actually did pretty good.
All right. So he contributed. Yeah. So SMU is a winner. Chris is a winner.
Hey, thanks.
All right. Darren McFarland selects the most popular pick amongst our listening audience, South Carolina, a 9.5-point dog at Missouri. Didn't go well for the Gamecocks. A 34-14 drubbing at the hands of the Tigers. South Carolina got issues here. Darren, you have issues as well. Previously, you had 0 points. Last week, you get zero. You're now 0-4 for a grand total of zero.
What is zero plus zero?
Zero.
That would be 0.0.
Zero times zero. What is zero divided by zero?
Zilcho.
What is zero minus zero?
Zip. So you are... what's going on?
I don't know. Ask Will Muschamp. That was pretty pathetic. Pretty pathetic. I felt good about that pick.
Next up, Nick Cale, a rookie in the competition. He selected, as we just mentioned, the third most popular
pick. I like Temple, guys.
Well, he had Temple. He had won a couple, and he was feeling good. He went with Northwestern, a 9.5-point dog against Michigan State, and it was not close. 31-10, Spartans win it. Nick drops to 2-2, but he is still tied for third with 10.5 points right now. And the reason he's tied for third is because Derek Mason, who had the fourth pick, selected Colorado, 7-point dogs against Herm Edwards and the Arizona State Sun Devils. And the Buffaloes, for the second time in 4 weeks, are an underdog winner in our contest. 34-31 is the final. D-Mace has now won two in a row, and he is tied with his cohort from Morning Drive, Nick Cale. Each have 10.5. D-Mace, the Spartans win, Colorado wins, you're a double winner.
Absolutely. If y'all watch Arizona, it wasn't supposed to be Michigan State, but it happened. Arizona State, it happened. So I just figured they were on the high and they were bound to come back down to earth. And so they did. And I won. Kudos to me. And I'm on a winning streak. And it's going to stay that way. It's a beautiful day. So beautiful. So beautiful.
Kudos to me.
Kudos to me.
Hey, Darren.
Yes.
You know what? Nothing leaves nothing.
Yes, I have a whole lot of nothing. Big sack of nothing.
Hey, as long as you give it your all, that's all that matters.
The reigning champion, Kelly Holcomb, had the fifth pick. He went, having the lead that he had, just looking for the check down throw, went with California. Two-point dog on the road at Ole Miss, traveling across the country, and as a lot of people said, with the 11 a.m. Central Time start, a 9 a.m. Pacific Time start. But they made the adjustment. They had total control of the game with Justin Wilcox, of course, the former University of Tennessee assistant coach. And then it got a little hairy at the end. Ole Miss got to within 28-20, threw the ball into the end zone. The guy's feet are in the end zone, but the ball is not. He falls down at the half-yard line. And then they went into a total scramble, tried to sneak it in, got stopped at the one as time expired, and they fall. They would have had to get the two just to get it to overtime. But California hangs on and wins. Kelly is now 3-1. He's got 20.5 points. So, Kelly, you got exactly what you were looking for.
Yeah, I just kept thinking a nice fourth down pick there. That's what Darren said. Nice fourth and one.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just, you know, just trying to make a play. And hey, Chris, are you? Why don't we just let your girlfriend come on the show, man? Did she make all the decisions too?
What?
I mean, does she make all of the big decisions in y'all's relationship as well? What's up?
Oh wow.
I mean, we might as well let her on the show too, dude.
That if Chris can't make it 1 week, well, we should at least let her make the pick.
Yeah.
She's making the picks anyway.
She's doing it anyway, so just go ahead and put her on there.
Why y'all being so mean to me? I mean, I just won.
This is what happens when you win, Chris.
Yep, they try to knock you down a peg.
See, nobody's saying anything to me because nobody's worried about my picks.
Yeah, you might as well just check out the game because, yeah, you're pretty bad.
I'm not quitting.
Oh, I know what you can do. You can use somebody else's pick. Maybe you'll get a point.
The sixth pick belongs to Chase McCabe last week. He went a very enthusiastic pick.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we know how good that was.
University of Tennessee, 14-point dog at Florida. It was a no contest. 34-3 is the final. Tennessee having issues, and Chase also having issues, drops to 0-4. So Middle Tennessee and then Tennessee coming up empty for Chase. Chase, you are in a tie for sole possession of last place. If that makes sense.
Well, what is the margin of those last
you guys
2 weeks?
You guys are in a deadlock.
Like his two teams have been outscored, what, like 88-6?
It's not good.
Yeah.
Middle got double digits, I think. 41-18, I think they lost.
Last place guy, along with me. Yeah. You liked MTSU. You liked that pick.
Misery loves company. So,
yeah, that's the saying. That is the saying that applies to you guys.
Yeah. It's going to change this week, though.
There's a lot of misery.
A lot of misery. But week 5 is coming up. When we come back, Darren McFarland will have the first crack at getting out of the cellar. He has the first pick, followed by Nick Kale with Max Herz jumping in and pinch hitting. D. Mace trying to make it 3 in a row will pick third. Kelly Holcomb, the leader in the competition with 20.5, has the fourth pick. Chase fifth, and then forever Titan Chris Sanders and his girlfriend will have the sixth pick. Stay tuned. This is Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Darren, Donk, and Chase continues on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Week number 5. The picks are ready to go. Darren McFarland will have the first pick. The standings right now, Kelly with 20.5 points. Second place, Chris Sanders, 12.5. Tied for third, Nick Kale and Derek Mason. Cohorts on morning drive. And then the cohorts from Darren, Donick, and Chase in the midday slot, a combined 0-8 and no points. Darren, with that in the backdrop, you have the first pick.
Indian Fever. It starts from the very first inning. Indian Fever. Each game is a brand new beginning. It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian Fever.
Be a believer.
The Cleveland Indians.
Boom, 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 boom. All right. Last week, I wanted to do a Friday game. I felt very good about it, but unfortunately, because some members of this panel have been winning, I felt desperate. So that was a mistake.
Oh, don't do it.
I should have taken a smaller game because I felt good about USC, and I didn't, and they pulled off the win, and that would have been 4.5 points. I've learned from that. I'm going back to Friday. Going back to Friday night. Tomorrow night, give me the Turtle at home.
Oh.
The Terrapins.
Oh, no.
Against Jimmy Franks.
Oh, no.
He took
Oh,
you
my
suck.
God, I wanted that pick.
Boy,
me too.
A lot of groaning from the panel.
By the way, did anybody pick up on Chase clearly in a room with somebody who's picking for him? He goes, hey, he took Maryland. Mark, he took Maryland. I heard him say that.
So you're saying Chase has hired a team of consultants.
Yeah, he's talking to somebody. Somebody's going to make his pick for him. That's how rattled he is.
He's talking to the Eagles,
hey,
he says.
Hey, guys, he took Maryland, crossed Maryland off the list.
He's got his guys. Or girls.
The Eagles' name is Ricky.
Okay. Of course.
The Maryland Terrapins are a 6-point home dog against Jimmy Frank and the Penn State Nittany Lions. That is a Friday night, 7 o'clock Central Time start. And apparently everybody had that marked as a possible pick. That brings us to Nick Cale, who is absent. His first absence. We are marking down attendance like we do in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Mm-hmm.
His first absence from the competition, so he is handed the baton. I'm quite surprised with him knowing that he had the second pick, that he didn't just maybe pass a couple of picks along. Instead, he has thrown everything he's got.
No, he's passed some picks.
Has he?
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, he's passed some picks along.
You're saying Max denied that.
He gave me some picks to pick for him, and I didn't take what he gave me.
I didn't deny anything.
But I said, I'm not making your pick for you.
I thought you denied. I asked you if you were collaborating, and you said no.
Oh, no, we're collaborating.
Okay, so, but are you going out on your own, or are you going with what Nick told you? We'll find out in a moment. I can tell you what he's done. He's changed the theme song.
Every week he changes it.
That was all me changing the theme song. I don't dabble in this WWE business. But on behalf of Nick Cale, I'm Max Herz. We'll be meeting him in the middle, a.k.a. Harrisburg, to pick the Boston College Eagles, who are a 6.5-point dog against Wake Forest. Thank you for your time.
We got another groan. Sounds like.
Did you hear the Team Chase? Were they commenting on that?
Hey guys, he took Boston. Hey guys, Boston College.
Cross
that one off the list, guys. Boston College.
Boston College, by the way, is a 6.5-point dog playing at home against 4-0 Wake Forest. Interesting pick. Boston College, had it not been for the hiccup against Les Miles and the Kansas Jayhawks, they too would be 4-0. And this would be a matchup of unbeatens. Line opened at 3 and has grown to 6.
Yep. 6.5.
6.5, indeed. All right. That brings us to Derek Mason. Currently right now, I guess that's redundant, right? Currently would be right now. He is in a tie for third. He's 1-2 in a row. He's trying to go for 3 in a row. D-Mace.
Yeah, Eddie and the Cruiser.
Eddie is doing it for you, D-Mace. I can feel the momentum from Eddie and the Cruiser.
Eddie and the Cruiser, it does it for me, man. It does it for me. There's two games that I'm thinking about. And I'm going with the Lions. I like what UCLA did coming back and winning that game. So I'm going with Chip Kelly. I think he got his team on a roll. I think that young quarterback is starting to play well. They are, I think, a 7-point dog against Arizona. So I'm taking UCLA versus Arizona.
UCLA coming off of the, what do they call it, the after dark, the Pac-12 after dark?
Mm-hmm.
the classic, I guess you could call it that, the 67-63 win over Washington State.
Where they were down big.
Big.
In the second half and came back and won.
So the 1-3, that was their first win of the year. UCLA is a six-point dog this week on the road against Kevin Sumlin and Arizona, who have recovered to win two after their tough loss as a big favorite in the first week of the season. And that was Labor Day weekend, or was that was the first Thursday night game? That was a long time ago.
Yep. The first Thursday night is the one in Hawaii. Is that right?
Hawaii, yeah. That was the Hawaii.
That
game.
Was the, yeah. First Thursday before even
that
the
was,
first
oh, that
weekend.
Was August 24th.
That was
right?
In August,
okay.
Yeah.
So that was a long time ago. So we'll see if Kevin Sumlin has it all fixed. But an interesting game. That game is the 9:30 ESPN game, so you'll be able to watch that. So D-Mace going out to the Pac-12. Can UCLA make it two in a row? That brings us to the leader in the competition and the defending champion, Kelly Holcomb. Country road.
Well, since Darren took everybody's first pick, I had a feeling that looking at the board that was not going to be there. So I'm going to say that
Akron's
Baylor
a favorite.
Beats Iowa State.
Akron's a favorite, Kelly.
No, I'm not going with Akron ever again. Can't say ever again, but I'm going with Baylor. I'm going to say they beat Ohio State. They're 3 or Iowa State. They're 3-0 in Iowa State's first road game. So. Let's go.
Baylor is a 2.5-point home dog against the Iowa State Cyclones. Game opened up as a pick 'em and has then slid to 2.5. So, Kelly, staying with his philosophy, trying to piece together small gains to add to his lead.
Is it safe to say your offense is not wide open?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, I've got the lead on Sunday, man. I mean, I got to make pars.
I kind of feel like you've got two fullbacks.
Well, I mean, I might, but right now I don't know how many stroke lead I've got over the competition right now, but I mean, you know, all I got to do is make pars and I win. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, you're right.
It worked for him last
year. It's about the W's. You're right.
Baylor's 3-0, so a slight dog against Iowa State. That brings us to Chase McCabe looking for his first win.
Because lonely.
Let's do this.
Guys, we're on the pick. We're on the board. Guys, it's our pick.
Team
hey, what
McCabe.
Do you guys got? What
all
do you right. guys got? What do we do?
I know. My pick has not come off the board yet, which, again, could be a good thing and could be a bad thing. But I'm going to go with the crazy pirate. He didn't get it done last week. It was a rough week. I think they rebound. I will take Washington State.
Washington State.
Yes.
Another Pac-12 pick. And I'm trying to find it. Here it is.
6-point dog.
Washington
to Utah.
State is a 6-point dog taking on the Utes.
Man.
Out in Salt Lake City. 3-1 Washington State versus 3-1 Utah. Can they recover from the crazy track meet arena football score 67-63? So the Pac-12 taking center stage this week in the picks. That brings us to the final pick of the week. So Chase, that was your number one. That was your number one pick the whole time.
It was 1A.
1A. Okay.
There was a 1B, Boston College, but
okay. Maybe. That brings us to Chris Sanders, who is right there in sole possession of second place, only 8 points behind his rival, Kelly Holcomb.
And they stay there.
All right.
first of all, a couple of my picks were taken. I was a little upset. So what I did is I texted my baby. I said, baby, who are we going to pick? She said, USC over Washington. Mm. And that's who I'm going with because my baby said so.
Another Ooh, Pac-12
gutsy
game.
Pick. So three Pac-12 picks.
Yes.
This one will be played in the afternoon. USC is an 11-point dog on the road at Washington, a pair of 3-1 teams. USC has had the guys banged up. They have been certainly a team that has been entertaining to watch. They've been right in the middle of everything. They get the Huskies with Jacob Eason in company.
This is their season right here, right here. A win with this sparks their season.
Why are they that big of a dog?
I'm glad because that gives me 11 points.
Is it Washington? They're pretty good.
Washington is pretty good.
It's at Washington?
It's at Washington. Hmm.
I got USC, baby. Let's go.
That is big. So that could turn the tide. Even if Kelly wins, if Chris wins, is going to be tight. Chris would actually take the lead.
I'll be calling Darren all day long.
Oh, just get ready for that, Darren. If that happens.
All day long. You just get ready for it, boss.
You're going to have a tidal wave of calls from Chris.
I see what you did there. Yeah. Huh? Very nice. Way to work in tidal wave.
All right, let's review. Picks are in for week number 5, Volunteer Hose and Gasket. The first pick, Darren McFarland.
Guys, I'm going back to the beach. But y'all have a good evening.
Chase, good pick.
Team McCabe, going back to the water.
Thank you.
Good luck. Hey, watch out for those sharks.
Yeah,
that's their place. That's their house.
Darren McFarland gets the pick started and selects the Terps, the Maryland Terrapins. Now in the Big Ten, a 6-point home dog against undefeated Penn State. Nick Cale, in collaboration with Max Herz, selects Boston College. The Eagles are a 6.5-point dog against Wake Forest, who are at 4-0 on the season. Derek Mason, trying to make it 3 consecutive wins, goes out west to the Pac-12, and it's the night game. UCLA coming off of their dramatic comeback win against Washington State. This week, they're a 6-point dog on the road at Arizona. Kelly Holcomb trying to add to his lead. Selects Baylor. The Bears are a 2.5-point home dog against undefeated Iowa State. Then Chase McCabe via the beach with his consultants. His team down by the water selects Washington State. A 6-point dog on the road at Utah. And then finally, Chris Sanders looking to get into the lead. If he wins this, he would overtake Kelly Holcomb. He takes the Trojans of Southern Cal, an 11-point dog on the road against Jacob Eason and the Washington Huskies. Remember, you can play by going online at thegamenashville.com. We have weekly prizes. We've got tickets. We've got fun stuff. You make 3 picks every week. Just make them before Saturday at kickoff. Gentlemen, those are the picks for week number 5. And as always, good luck.
Kelly, Chris, good luck with your games tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. See y'all.
Forever Titan Chris Sanders, Kelly Holcomb, Riverdale and Blackman tomorrow night. How about that? Good stuff. All right, we'll come back. Close out the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Thanks a lot, Max. One of my favorites as a kid, but now it'll be stuck in my head for the next several hours. This is a hilarious skit. I used to play this for my kids all the time. They loved
it. It's timeless.
It's timeless.
So
it's not the song. It's the skit that goes with the song. It's classic Muppets. Why did you play this, Max? Was this stuck in your head this morning somehow?
There's some great music at my disposal here. When I come across something that I need to play, I need to play it. But can I explain myself for when do we have Daniel Carr on? Tuesday?
Yep. Yes.
So I thought we were getting Matt Duchesne, and he loves Brad Paisley. So that's why I had the Brad Paisley queued up.
We had a little bit of a switcheroo.
Because I wanted to make Matt Duchesne's day.
Okay. That explains it.
Yeah. And that's the only Brad Paisley song I know.
Okay.
I want to check you for ticks or whatever it's called.
Speaking of that, last night I got home from the game and I watched again. I was mesmerized by the Ken Burns documentary, the final part on the history of country music. I cannot recommend it enough. Even if you are only partial, like me, I'm not a huge country music fan, but I just was blown away. Last night, good friend of the show, good friend, I think, of everybody in Nashville, but Vince Gill had his little feature. It was more his era last night. He's really referenced throughout and is interviewed a lot for the entire thing because he's such a great historian of country music. But his rise was in there. It was awesome to watch it. The clips of him when he was younger, his rise through the Pure Prairie League, and then how he kind of made it on his own. I did not know this. Did you know this, Darren? Vince Gill was given a chance. He was at a crossroads and had a chance to jump on board with Dire Straits and be a guitar player and tour with them.
I did not know
he
that.
He turned it down because he believed in himself enough, even though he was really struggling, that he could make it as a country music singer. And a year or two later, he had the breakthrough. Didn't know that.
That's crazy. You love imagine those stories,
being
that, though, right?
Imagine being, you know, presented with that challenge.
Yeah.
Bet on myself or take, and he, you know, obviously he's a huge fan of music.
And that would have been,
that would have
been
a great
move. Good career
he
move
He said
at
that would
have point.
Paid my bills.
Yes.
He said that would have paid my bills instantly.
And then some.
Yeah. But he just didn't,
but
didn't
it
feel
been,
right about it. He believed that it was going to happen for him.
But you wouldn't be able to sustain that. Betting on yourself.
Not necessarily,
if
yeah.
you make it, then yeah. you could, hopefully, then you can, obviously, you sustain that.
And
hope.
Thankfully for all of us,
yeah.
he stuck it out, and we have the great
story.
Vince Gill.
Wow.
Oh, it's that, and that whole thing is full of
how did
tremendous
that come about?
Stories.
Well,
he knew everybody. He had been in L.A.
Okay.
You know, he had got to know a lot of people in a lot of different genres. It was awesome.
You talk about being with the Eagles?
No, they didn't get it. It was more of historical, so they're not looking really present day. So they didn't get into that part. But, yeah, he's fit right in with that, right?
Amazing.
Cool
Good guy.
Stuff. Oh, the best. But Nashville is all over this thing. Like, they have the film clips of, you know, Music Row back in those days. Just a fantastic documentary.
So we were talking a lot of college football, obviously, with Silly Underdog Picks. And so I brought this up with Wes Durham and said, could you imagine, and I know it's very, very early, but if the four best teams in the land, at least if you look at the rankings, which the official rankings are not out yet, but like AP and all that, coaches' polls, it's Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, and LSU, right? And the eyeball test says they are the four best teams. But there's a lot of long ways to go. Two of those teams are on the same side of the division of a conference, so a lot of things are, you know, they may have it all play out just by the schedule alone. But how about outside of that? He brought up Ohio State, and I was like, yeah, okay, I get it. They've been really impressive. They've beat up on Ohio Wesleyan and Cuyahoga Community College, and you know, so
I mean, everybody in Ohio raises their hand and says, "We'll take the check and go to the Horseshoe and get drugged."
They tend to do that.
They take turns every year.
Right?
It's Miami, Ohio. It's the MAC team here.
Ohio,
it's Akron.
It's Cincinnati. Yeah. It's Cleveland State. It's whatever. Whoever has a helmet and pads in the state of Ohio, they tend to open up their season with them. Now this week they're in Lincoln to take on Nebraska. Then they'll host Michigan State, and then they'll have Wisconsin in a month, toward the end of October. It is in Columbus though. Then they'll have Maryland at home. All their big games they're getting at home. Michigan State, Wisconsin, Maryland, although Michigan State, I wouldn't say world beaters. Penn State, they get at home. They're at Michigan. So most of their big games are all at home. But let's start with Ohio State. I mean, how good are they? Yes, they put up 76 points. Yes, they've put up, what are they averaging, about 45 a game, something like that.
Who is the best team they've played so far, though?
Cincinnati?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah?
And Cincinnati's pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's not like they have not played anybody.
And they shut them out.
Cincinnati, shutting out Cincinnati's not easy. They're going to win their share of games. I believe Ohio State is legit. I think they're really good. But I think there will be a game or two in the league, and I'm not sure who it'll be. I will say prior to the Michigan game, where Fields will have to make pressure plays, right? They're not just going to roll over everybody. This is part of the issue that you have with a guy like Fields, right? And on a team like Ohio State, they're probably going to have several games where they just rip everybody. And he's really not put under any stress as a quarterback. You know, third quarter, game's tight. You got to make some nice throws on third down. You got to make good decisions. When to run it. When to throw it away. When to try to throw it into a tight window. So when will that game hit? You just hit on a couple. Maybe it's Michigan State.
Is Nebraska.
Maybe it's Nebraska. Nebraska's getting better.
It's in Lincoln. So
the crowd, the atmosphere is going to be such where maybe there are some plays like that.
Ohio State, to your point, you said, I don't know what game it is. You think about it. They've had that tricky road game, right, at Iowa, at Purdue.
Indiana last year. Where was it last year? Maryland last year. They were on the ropes.
Well, I thought it was Purdue. Wasn't that
Purdue? They got ripped by Purdue. They just got flat out blown out of the water.
And then they lost to Iowa on the road, didn't they?
Not last year.
That was a couple years. Yeah, a couple years ago.
But last year, remember, I think it was Maryland.
It was
an unbelievable game.
No, it was unbelievable. They had no business winning that game. They could not stop Maryland.
Crazy.
I mean, what was the final? Like 63-60? I mean, it was silly.
Crazy game.
Their defense was just, I mean, Maryland gagged that game away.
But by the end of the year, nobody wanted to play Ohio State, for sure.
Well, that was in November. That was toward the end of the year.
It was, but, you know,
they found a way to win, and then they ripped the you-know-what out of Michigan. But I don't know what Nebraska has for them, but I guess what I'm asking is, how legit do you think Ohio State is?
I think they're legit. I could be proven
wrong.
Would
they beat any of the top four teams right now, in your opinion? Neutral site game.
With LSU being one of the top four?
Yeah.
Let's just Ohio State,
Clemson,
LSU.
Alabama,
Ohio
Georgia,
State,
LSU.
Ohio State, LSU, with Joe Burrow. Is Joe Burrow, does he have any connection to Ohio? Joe Burrow, Ohio State?
I don't know.
How did he get out of Ohio?
So. I think he grew up in Ohio.
He grew up
in Ohio. He doesn't really have any ties. I think he grew up in Athens, Ohio.
Okay, you get the gag if you didn't hear the Colin Cowherd YouTube. It's kind of fun, the Urban Meyer interview. But Joe Burrow playing against Ohio State, how cool would that be?
That would be for the
networks. Fields playing against Georgia?
Yeah.
How fun would that be?
Yeah. Then that could play out, right?
I mean, yes.
One of these scenarios could play out in the playoffs. That could happen.
It absolutely could happen.
Jalen
Hurts playing against Alabama?
Sure.
Could happen.
Sure. So, and we'll get to that.
Oklahoma is another one, right?
So what,
I am yes on Ohio State.
So you're a yes.
I like their pathway. We mentioned LSU is going to have to run the gauntlet here if they're going to stay in this conversation, stay in the top four, right?
Yes.
They have a brutal schedule.
Yes. Okay.
They could lose one and still be very much in the conversation, but I think there's also a chance they could lose two, and then you're pretty much out of the conversation.
But outside of the Alabama game, all their big ones are all at home, so that does factor that in.
Yes. I also would say LSU could make an argument that schedule with two losses is more impressive than some of these teams we're going to talk about with one loss, right? Could at least make a pretty good argument.
Yep.
Depending on how you look in all these games,
no
and what was the loss, where was the loss, how close was the loss. Could happen.
Let's jump to Oklahoma. So what about them? A yes, no, still need to see more?
I think I need to see more.
Yeah, me too. When you beat Houston and UCLA and I don't know, who was the Cuyahoga Community College? I don't know who they played. The second game.
Oh, yeah. Youngstown State.
Who?
Are we just naming Ohio colleges?
No.
Who is Oklahoma beat somebody that was not really
just
good.
Blacked in. Youngstown State. Thanks for having
South
me.
South Dakota.
That's right.
South Dakota. The Coyotes.
Who can challenge them? I think there will be teams in the Big Ten that challenge Ohio State. Who challenges Oklahoma in the Big 12?
Say that again.
Who challenges Oklahoma in the Big 12?
Texas, you got the Texas game.
I mean, you got the Texas game is always
which Texas got them last year, right? You know, Baylor, TCU, Oklahoma State. You know, Oklahoma State's always a little tricky. Iowa State, Kansas State, West Virginia. No,
TCU's
nothing.
Down.
That's a good point. Like, their schedule, give me a break.
I think they've got to go undefeated.
They have to. They should. They have to. Like, there's no way they can have a hiccup with that schedule.
I think you're right.
Playing nobodies. By the way, there's a chance. Well, no, Texas will still be ranked. I was going to say, there's a chance by the time they get to nobody will even be ranked. They will not have played a ranked opponent, but Texas will be. So they'll have one game. Kansas State could easily, in late October, not be ranked anymore.
No, I Kansas State has done a great job to be ranked. Nobody, yeah. I didn't see them.
So you go through an entire season with one ranked opponent? I don't know. People are not going to be impressed.
I think that'll be an issue if they're trying to get into the discussion. Their strength of schedule.
Yep.
Especially because they won't have the UCLA win won't really carry much weight at all. It won't carry any weight. Neither will Houston.
Nope. Now, what about Wisconsin? Who ripped Michigan to shreds, looked very impressive in that win, of course, albeit at home, but they're undefeated. They beat South Florida at the beginning of the year 49-0 down in Tampa. Ripped Central Michigan 61-0.
They do not play Ohio State in the regular season, true? They could play them in the
No,
in
they
the
play
Big
them.
Ten.
No,
they play them in the regular season?
Yeah, I just told you. They play in Columbus.
Wow.
October 26th.
I got to see more before I think
there's
some juggernaut.
That'll be the game.
This is where my history, I'm going by my history of what we've come to expect from that program, which is rock solid most years, but not quite good enough to be the dominating. Everything's got to go right for them to really be in this discussion.
But they have, at least they have dominated to this point. Like, they have dominated their opponents.
It had to get your attention.
When you go on the road and you win 49-0, you win 61-0 against Central Michigan, and then you dominate Michigan. Yes, is that, but that's dominating.
Right. So that's why I'm saying I'm going with more of the history of what we have seen from Wisconsin than the dominating team that we've seen
so far.
Their
season comes
down to... They had to get your attention to rip Michigan the way they did.
It comes down to 2 weeks, back-to-back weeks, at Ohio State, home against Iowa. Right? That's their season. We'll know. We'll know what they're made of. Last game in October, first game in November.
So they could actually play Ohio State twice, right? They're in the other division. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Two matchups.
It could absolutely happen.
Keep that in the back of your mind.
It's either you're going to be Wisconsin or Iowa out of the West, one would think, right?
Is Iowa really going to go? Are they going to beat Wisconsin?
Well, Iowa plays, if you're an MTSU fan, you want to know what Iowa's about, watch the game this weekend. That's where MTSU will be.
I see a steady team. I see a normal Iowa team, but I don't see a powerhouse.
No. But I think they're really good.
They're solid. By the way, they are, about a three-touchdown?
24-point favorite, I think.
Yeah, 23-24 over middle.
All right, we'll come back. Adam Vinkin at about 1:15. Predators are wrapped up things, and so he may need an extra 15 minutes or so. So it'll probably be more like about 1:15 we'll talk to Adam. We'll come back. Fourth and final hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.